This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Property Show on The Morning Run. It's our weekly take on all things property related. I'm Sim Wee Boon. In August last year, Indonesian President Joko Widodo announced a plan to relocate the capital of Jakarta to Kalimantan. This was part of a strategy of reducing developmental inequality between the islands of Java and other islands in the Indonesian archipelago, as well as also reducing Jakarta's burden as Indonesia's hub. So Malaysia's very own Veritas Design Group was selected as one of the top three contenders out of almost 300 other contenders to work on the new Indonesian capital. So joining us on the show today is Ng Yik Seng, Principal of Veritas Design Group, and Michael Tan, Project Architect of Veritas Design Group, to talk about their work. Welcome to the show, guys. Let's talk about like the design of the city, because of course Indonesia's brief for this new capital is pretty much for the design to reflect the nation's identity, you know, to be synonymous with sustainability in various aspects, and finally residents to live happily. So maybe Michael, you can explain like how do you put all that.
When we received the design brief, actually the number one of the criteria that they give is that it has to reflect the national identity, which actually consists of four things, which are the Pancasila, which is kind of like the Rukun Negara in Malaysia, Undang-Undang Dasar 45, which is the law, our national motto Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means unity in diversity, and Negara Kesatuan Republik Indonesia. So with this, we're actually pretty much focusing on the concept of this identity. From someone who come from Indonesia, Indonesia is really rich. We have like more than 17,000 islands, more than 1,100 languages, and 714 tribes. And the challenge is, with all of this, how are we going to get the identity in common? So we did a little bit of research, and we track back that it actually ties to the tradition of weaving. So we use this weaving as a metaphor to represent the unity in Indonesia. In weaving technique, there is actually the weft and the warp, which is the horizontal and the vertical threads. And this actually represent the weaving of the natural landscape in Kalimantan with the new capital city that will be built upon. So with this concept, we are hoping that that the new capital city will be a place where the people can actually live together in harmony, live closer to the government, and it's basically will become a more livable city where it actually represent that, show to the world that Indonesia actually is a democratic country and we can live in harmony, even though we are very diverse.
Okay, from the news that came out, it's an administrative capital. Basically, you know, like our old Putrajaya. But as we know, Putrajaya is pretty empty. You want to say livable, it's not exactly super livable. Not many people live there. I mean, is this a case study for you guys? Are you guys looking at this as a case study to kind of like make sure that that doesn't happen for this new capital?
Yik Seng, maybe you can take this?
I think it's a good question. And I think if you study the most administrative center around the world, they started with kind of, it takes a long time for the organic growth to actually interweave into the kind of everyday life. So in this capital city, we do look at that, and the weaving metaphor actually goes into the other components of livability, such as culture, education, healthcare, transportation, as well as the sustainability. So we are looking at weaving, as Michael mentioned just now, not just the administrative center and the people, but also the commercial and the administrative, also the tourists, and also the kind of the identity of the country, as Michael mentioned, about 1,000 over tribes. So imagine if you were to create a city with walkability that has components within plazas of identity of each of these. You can literally walk the city and find the identity of Indonesia within the city itself. So imagine that the commercial side as well, once being interwoven, now you will have a little bit more vibrancy in all the city elements. How well it will work, of course, is still subject to, it's a theoretical application, but we will have to start to look at data collection. So this is where the technology and future proofing come in. We can look at sensors being set up, data collected, so that we can actually then start to plan it, almost like evolving the planning from what is right now to what may be 10 years' time, what may be 20 years' time, you know, when technology change.
Yeah, because that's a lot of problems with the cities that we have nowadays, right? Where the kind of excuse given by most people, by the, you know, the planners or the authorities, when people complain about congestion, people complain about very cramped space, is that like the city wasn't planned this way. The city, you know, we have to just build on top of it. You know, this, it doesn't seem concise. It doesn't seem that there was a nice pathway laid out. So how do you make sure that doesn't happen for this new project?
Okay, you set up policies like walkway and green areas. Now that we are a little bit more advanced in terms of what we know, we can actually apply that in the policies. But as you mentioned, in the old days, it was horse-drawn cart. Now it's cars. The road may be different. And that's where we mentioned that we now have the technology that we can actually track what's happening in a city. We can literally say that the plaza is being used in a certain way. So maybe one side of the plaza is empty, so maybe we have to change the usage so that it becomes more more friendly to public, or maybe to change the use of it so that it becomes usable.
Sounds quite modular.
It can be modular, and it can be... what we are trying to do is that to plan for change. So to some extent, it has to be modular for you to change. So imagine if I have a small module, and this module... Now, let's say it's meant to be a museum, but then the museum is somewhere else, then this may now suddenly become like it's actually a better place for maybe an urban farming. Okay. Who knows?
But for Michael, how do you as an architect, you know, you are coming from the design and the creative aspect, how do you consider that? Because, I mean, maybe that's where the weaving thing comes in, but because when you design something, when you lay it down, you know, it looks a certain way. It's considered a certain way. But now you have to kind of like make sure that maybe it won't be utilized that way.
I think it is true what Eng says, that in the future, there are a lot of things that is unexpected. So as when we design the city, we actually will try to design in a way that it's allowed for a change in the future. It's also kind of tied back to the requirement where the city has to be sustainable. So in this case, we are trying to make the city as more resilient and is adapt to change, because there are a lot of uncertainties. But again, there are still basic few things that we actually have to comply with. For example, like the city itself, it has to be sustainable in terms of the environment, economic and social. So when we first designed the city, it actually has to be a compact city. We make sure that it is compact. It is a walkable and livable city. So we imagine that the city is actually a place where people can walk to work.
Because that's not the case in Jakarta, man. It's huge.
Yeah. So that is actually because we know that what happened to other countries and other cities. So we try to avoid that. So imagine that people can walk to work, the kids can walk to the school, and families can have a better living standard. There will be a lot of community spaces, a lot of friendly neighborhoods, so the people actually own the city itself. There is a sense of ownership. We also make sure that the city actually is environmental friendly. There will be autonomous vehicles. People can walk and can cycle, and yet they feel safe on the road. In terms of another aspect for the sustainability, it actually has to allow create opportunities for the local to collaborate with the global talent in the future, hoping that with this working together, they actually can come up with the certain maybe it's a more future technology solution, for example, like a new energy system, new system for the food production, health, and so on.
Okay, last question before we go to break. I just want to ask, like, you know, it's been in my head since we talked about transportation. I mean, will the city be designed for flying cars?
Well, if you have allowed for flying cars, basically you can go anywhere, right?
Exactly. But, you know, yeah. I mean... I think
the main thing about flying cars is that you now need an infrastructure that basically says that which level are they flying at? What happened when they want to come out? You have to have strict rules because you cannot just...
So the Indonesian government has not given any indication that they want flying cars?
I think if you look at the infrastructure that's available now and what is being considered, even just a very simple one, autonomous car is still being studied because there's a lot of criteria that need to be looked at, the legal, the systems and everything else. So I wouldn't say that it's not there. It's the thought process is there. But it's a thought process that actually once you're actually in almost like a three-dimensional, four-dimensional scenario, you actually have more flexibility, but also it means that you need to have more roofs.
Okay, cool. We're going to go for a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run. I'm Sim Wee Boon, and with me here today is Ng Yik Seng, Principal of Veritas Design Group, and Michael Tan, Project Architect of Veritas Design Group. They are one of the three top contenders out of almost 300 other contenders that it will be working on Indonesia's new capital in Kalimantan. So earlier, we were talking about how exactly do you build the city, the design considerations that go into them, and a bit of future-proofing. But are there any role model cities that you guys are looking at? Any successful city stories? Because you said to me just now during the break that this is actually sort of an inorganic thing that is being planned.
Yik Seng, maybe you can take this?
I think if you look at it, planning most cities like you see, like Vancouver, Melbourne, or all the other livable city index, top of the livable city index, they tend to have grown organically. So to some extent, we need to look at this as like, how do we grow organically? That's why you want it to be flexible. But at the same time, now we have to go to the 4D, which is time. We are speeding up the time to try to create an organic city that will grow much faster than any other city has in the world. So it's going to be an interesting, almost experiment.
Is this the first time that something like this has happened?
No, I think it's not the first time something like this has happened. But even if you look at Putrajaya, you mentioned that it's not exactly livable, but it has been growing to become more livable. There are a lot of things that's being put into the city.
I finally have a few friends from there live there, so yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't necessarily, you also have to look at the software side, not just the hardware, not just the building, but the events, the things that's happening, the people. So all these elements are very important because we build cities, we build for who? The people. So if the people are not there, if the people are not interacting, they are not communicating, this is always going to be the issue. You get to know your neighbors after maybe a while, 5-10 years. So I think you have to be cautious that you cannot expect things to just immediately click. And this is something that we will have to study very, very carefully.
Well, okay, Michael, you are our resident Indonesian guy here now. So from you as an Indonesian, what do you think Indonesians want out of this new city?
I think for us as Indonesian, we would like to have our capital city to be the example to the world that this city is going to be a future city, sustainable, it's a livable city, where all of the talents around the world will actually come to the capital, our capital, new capital city, and to live together.
Jokowi has also said that the city will be 20% government and 80% investment or from foreign investors, if I'm not mistaken. How do you design for a city where 80% of the future growth is coming from outside? I mean, how do you consider that? What if those guys don't like vivid pattern style inspirations?
I think when we say weave, it's not necessarily physical. Okay. It's also something that the idea is of weaving is kind of more that if you are building a totally a new residential area, you must have commercial elements to it. You must have urban farming elements in it in the future to become self-sustainable. You must have maybe urban forestry that's coming into it. So there are a lot of elements that and cultural education. So they are all woven as in like, it must be a fabric that when you walk, you know, you don't want to be walking through a long distance where there's no excitement to it. You're actually walking through. If you walk in a mall, you walk for 1 kilometer, and there are things around. You don't realize you have walked for 1 kilometer. But if there's nothing around, then you realize that, okay, do I really want to walk?
So there's a lot of talk about 5G. It's even here in Malaysia, it's like the conversation, you know, our Prime Minister loves it. But 5G is just more than talking refrigerators and Netflixing toaster ovens, you know. I mean, it moves into autonomous transportation, making what truly is a smart city. The only issue is that it's not there now. It's not physically there now. We're not seeing it there now. How do you include what is not happening, but is also going to happen into the city?
If you look at technology, they are really kind of platform. They're a platform where you actually then do things with. So imagine that the city itself, and you plan the infrastructure similarly, it's a platform. But in this case, there are people involved. The people are the one using it. So then how do you create all this system, or how you create this kind of integration that will actually come about? And that's where the complexity also helps with that, because the lesser a space that you expand to, the richer that you actually have. You need to be flexible in how you plan for the future so that you can actually then change to make adjustment to almost literally gather the information as you go along. As I say, now you talk about 5G. The city may take 10, 20 years. The administrative center may be faster, but the actual city, the actual growth, if you want to go to 1+ million, to 3 million people, that may actually be a long-term thing. You cannot expect a planning to be that we designed today will be able to cater for what is down 10 years down the road. It needs to have that policy that able to be adjusted. And I think this is very, very critical in the sense that you have to almost start to project yourself to the future and see what potentially are there. You're almost looking at what the future technology is, almost like the writer of Space Odyssey.
An issue with Jakarta, hence the move as well, is overpopulation, that the city, the people are outliving and outgrowing the city. I mean, have you guys planned? Is this being planned for this new city? How do you build a city to make sure that the population won't outgrow the city?
Okay, I'm going to throw another word for you. What happened after they've outgrown the city and then you have a population decrease? What you're getting in Japan, in most of Western countries, and even in Singapore, I believe. So you, when you're building or planning a city, and buildings can come and go, there's a life cycle for the buildings. Nowadays, there's even talk about the timber skyscraper, which means that there's a lifetime to it. So we can also look at building materials that actually have a lifetime, a life cycle. We talk about potato skin plastic, so you know it can be degeneratable. The other option is that you look at buildings as like what can they be transformed in the future. You talked about flying cars. Flying cars means that you're actually not landing on the road, right? Mm-hmm. So you may be on. So next time your skyscraper may be, the mall is no longer flat. It's actually vertical because the car is flying in at different levels. Or we may start to say that, okay, look, can we change this to vertical farming? Can we change this into kind of like green lungs for the city? So it becomes like you change the use. So we did talk about that. But as I say, this is something very far in the future, but it's something that you can actually start to see that, okay, what are the possibilities? But also, as I say, keep in mind that projection for, let's say, the world population up to about 11.8 billion will eventually start to taper or even drop slightly. So we have to think about not just growing, then suddenly you have to stop growing as well.
Yes. And maybe decrease. Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, okay. Last, you know, you mentioned green lungs and all, but in terms of sustainability, this is of course a big issue or big topic being brought up when it comes to a city, building a city. You know, how do you make this new capital sustainable, environmentally friendly? What will truly make this a green city?
The people. What makes a green city is the people. Okay, as a design group, we no longer look at sustainable as a separate item. It's part of the DNA. We design for sustainability from day one. We don't design it after we design other things, we only put in sustainability. Sustainability is designed on day one. Of course, our knowledge of sustainability is still, I would say, not complete. It's still limited, so that it will always evolve.
Would you be incorporating green, like, you know, I think one of you mentioned urban farming, urban forests and all. Does that fold into it as well?
Michael?
Yeah. So another aspect in terms of the green, actually, in our planning, we actually try to put in a lot of green areas. We know that it is actually the what the government wants, that it has to be a forest city. So we put in a lot of public spaces, which are the green parks, and that connects from one green park to another green park where people actually can walk. And in our design, we actually think that this green park actually can, it's not going to be just green. It actually also could become a tourism place where people can be there, learn about the history of Indonesia. And it, all of this actually is kind of design and thought. We will hope and make sure that this design will be applied in the future.
Well, great. So that's all the time we have on today's property show. Thank you guys for being on the show. We've been speaking to Ng Yik Seng, principal of Veritas Design Group, and Michael Tan, the project architect of Veritas Design Group. These are the guys that will be one of three firms that will be working on the new Indonesian capital in Kalimantan. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise. I'm Sim Wee Boon, signing off, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.